We know about all the stars in Cowboys at Bills, but are there any ancillary players we are excited to start? Jacksonville Jaguars, ooh, not feeling so good heading into the fantasy playoffs. Can you start these players with confidence? And finally, an electric Saturday slate. Electric adjacent Saturday slate provides some fantasy goodness and some potential disappointment spots. We get into all that on the Week 15 Viewer's Guide. Let's get into it. It's Friday, December 15th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day. I mean, truly, a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is Kendall Valenzuela of Fantasy Life. Kendall, what's going on? It's been a minute since we've talked. I think it was August last time you're on the pod. Yeah. How's it going? How's your season?
It's good. It's going well. I know. I was telling producer Colin last time I came on, wanted to stir the pot, say Jerry Jeudy was a breakout candidate. Look how that went. Just to see your face, and it didn't work out. Was kind of close with a Cortland Sutton, but yeah, I promised not to stir the pot like that this time. No Jerry Jeudy breakouts this year.
In fairness to you and the Jerry Jeudy bros out there, I also said on that podcast that if Daniel Jones didn't work out, my fantasy season was over. Can confirm, I didn't have like 100% Daniel Jones quarterback teams, and quarterback's a little, it's easy to move on from whatever. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but yeah, those Daniel Jones bags, they didn't bring home the bacon for this holiday season. Okay. Maybe a few, I don't know about you, but because of the Daniel Jones situation, a few relatives are not getting Christmas gifts this year. You know, the secret Santas are going to be a little more secretive than usual. The white elephant is not shining. Okay. So yeah, for the Daniel Jones bags, that's on me. That one's on me, Kendall.
I think Darren Waller was my most drafted tight end. He's coming back this week, potentially.
Well, he's back this week.
So there we go. Maybe he'll win me a fantasy championship if I don't even think. I don't know.
It's just in time.
You look back at some of those teams and you say, what the hell was I thinking? And then it's just like, oh, yeah, Darren Waller is going to be great if he stays healthy. And there's the if. And then you're like, oh, just kidding. I'm not going to stay healthy. Why would I think that he would do that? It's just, yeah. So sorry, mom and dad. No Christmas.
Yeah, alas. Well, listen. We're not going to do a full lessons learned podcast, although I love that you said, the if, like, I'm definitely thinking to myself, how many times do I say if in an argument for a player next year? That's going to be something I remind myself of. But obviously, if you missed Kendall on the podcast in the preseason, she's from Fantasy Life. If you're watching on the YouTube version, you can tell that by that very spiffy hat or helmet back there. That's nice. Shout out to Fantasy Life on that one. But if you've been rocking with us all season long, you know what we do here on the weekly Viewer's Guide previews. We go through every game on the slate, the games you need to binge, stream, and skip. Let's waste no more time because it is week 15. It's the playoffs, Kendall. This is extremely important. How have we arrived here already? Let's get it started here with the binge category. The first game is a really electric one. And honestly, we have four great games, I think, in the binge category this week, starting with Cowboys at Bills. Bills are actually a 1.5-point home favorite, which is shocking, but we've got a beefy 50.5 over under here. So, Kendall, a lot of different ways we can go here. Obviously, it's a get your guys in the lineup here, but there are also some spots we can pick here. What stands out to you in this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you don't need us to sit here and tell you you're starting Dak Prescott on the MVP campaign. You're starting CeeDee Lamb in a really good spot. I think really the only thing you can look at here, I love the Cowboys in this spot as well. I know when you're traveling and you're going up against a team like the Bills, you can tell yourself a story where, oh, okay, maybe the Bills as the home favorites, they're really going to do something here. But the way the Cowboys have been rolling at 10-3, I mean, this is a big time matchup where it's one of those things, Matt, when I was looking through their schedule and I said, through all the comments, people say, okay, but who have they played? And then these last couple games, these are the games where you say, okay, well, they've played, they've played the Eagles. All right. They've played the Bills. And I think this is going to be another spot where you look at them and they go on the road and that MVP campaign for Dak Prescott just continues to roll. So, I mean, like I said, he's been hot. I mean, a QB 13 effort, I think it was last week, like 17 fantasy points. And we were disappointed as fantasy managers. managers. So that's, I mean, how rich we are with Dak Prescott this season. So you don't need us to tell you to start Dak Prescott. You don't need us to tell you that CeeDee Lamb is a smash spot. I guess the only part here is that you can look at Stephon Diggs potentially and say, where do we go from here? How worried should we be as fantasy managers? So when you sent over the show sheet, that was my first question. You know, 35 receiving yards in 3 of the past 4 games, I think fewer than 35 receiving yards. So I think that's the one where you can pick out here, what's this going to look like with Josh Allen at home? Hopefully, to me, Matt, at least, and I'm interested in your thoughts. This seems like a really good game for Diggs to have some kind of bounce back.
Yeah, because I think right now with Dallas's cornerbacks, like Stephon Gilmore, I think is coming off a pretty nice performance, about as nice a performance as you can have against A.J. Brown and those Eagles wide receivers. But at the same time, like, that's the type of matchup where Gilmore at this stage of his career is like, he's going to get some of his, you're going to get some of yours. So I think Diggs can have some good looks there. Deron Bland, obviously, you know, the pick six machine. At the same time, he's somebody that can give up plays on the other side as well. So I do think that Diggs bounces back here. Really, honestly, I'm not super concerned about the Diggs slump. You see this every now and again with even a receiver. I mean, we've had, you know, this conversation about Steph Diggs in the past, like the last couple of years, where it's like, all right, this is like a slow spell, but eventually it gets right. I'm encouraged by the James Cook usage, because I think that has been, you know, like, the, we talked about this yesterday with Dalton, but the routes are actually down in Joe Brady's kind of stint as the play caller here, but the targets per route runner up by a lot. And I think it's a lot more of like intentional usage to get that running back involved in the passing game. But I'm curious more so actually about these ancillary receivers really on both sides, right? Like Buffalo, I mean, it's been an astounding Gabe Davis performance, even for Gabe Davis of late. I mean, it's like every other week he literally puts up a zero. So is this the other week that you can start Gabe Davis? What about like the Dalton Kincaid part of it? What about the Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup part of it on the other side? Do any of these ancillary receivers in what should be an exciting game kind of stand out to you?
Yeah. I mean, we can start with Dalton Kincaid, right? Because the role, when we saw Dawson Knox was returning, that's everyone's mind clicked. They said, okay, what does this mean for Dalton Kincaid in that role? And so you got Dawson Knox out in week 7, I think it was, right, with the wrist injury. And then the route participation that, you know, Dwayne McFarland with the utilization report is always charting. And it's just like, it surged. You saw that. And it climbed to 84% in 6 games without Knox, 17 percentage point increase over his 67% in the first 6 games. So with the data that backed it up, that was the one thing I was nervous of, is sometimes these coaches, and we've seen it, they kind of just are a little hard-headed where they say, this is one of our guys and we're kind of might go back to him. Kind of a Dan Campbell-esque type thing where, yeah, we see Jahmyr Gibbs doing really well, but, you know, we're still going to give David Montgomery the work because that's, you know, that's our guy. And it just didn't happen. So you saw him only what, it was 7 fantasy points last week, I want to say. But I think when you look at the targets and you look at his average 7.6 targets per game, you kind of look and you say, even with Knox's first game back, I don't think that he is really going to step up Dawson Knox and make him irrelevant. I think it will never get to that point anymore. So I think he's the number 2 option to me behind Stephon Diggs. And then you can go down the Gabe Davis route, which is so volatile that I just, I mean, I can't even tell you, Matt, how many games that I've lost because I've made the decision that I can't stomach putting Gabe Davis in this lineup. And then all of a sudden it's his boom game. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so in the fantasy playoffs, that's what makes it so hard, is that you have to look at Gabe Davis and say, okay, is this the one? Is this the week? And to try and make that decision, you have to look at, you know, fantasy point projections, and you have to look at who he's going up against in the matchups. So for me, I'm taking it more the easy route with Kincaid. And I'm saying, all right, Dawson Knox isn't going to be as much of a factor as we thought he would coming back. So I really like Dalton Kincaid in these next 3 weeks for them. And Gabe Davis, I mean, listen, I'd rather lose games not knowing when to predict the Gabe Davis breakouts than put him in all 3 weeks and get zeros, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? It's so hard to predict, but that's Gabe Davis. That's Gabe Davis. So if you're lucky enough, if you have deep leagues, you're probably playing him, because in those deeper leagues, you don't have someone behind him that you say, maybe they'll get me 10 fantasy points. That's where you're hoping for Gabe Davis. And then you're also hoping for just the boom week. So I can't predict it, but I know that at least for me with Dalton Kincaid, when we saw the utilization report, that I was very happy that Dawson Knox did not take him out of some of those kind of lineup decisions that you have to make.
I think I'm I think I'm taking the plunge with Gabe this week.
Do it, please, please. I know I'm going to be wrong. I know I'm going to be wrong. Yeah. It's one of those things where I will not be shocked if we talk next week and I say, yeah, there was Gabe Davis's another breakout game.
Side of it, we can't be surprised if I'm wrong, right? And he exactly. literally puts up a zero spot. Like, we know there's no floor here. Now, I know I say this and for full disclosure, you know, because I'm a man of honesty and integrity, none of the teams that I have in the fantasy, I mean, I don't have a lot of Gabe Davis anyways. People know my stance on Gabe there. Mm-hmm. But if for like my teams that are in the playoffs this week, I don't have any Gabe Davis. So this is like a decision that I'm saying out of complete, like no context. Now, if people ask me about Gabe Davis, that's a different story. It does depend on your options. But I will say if you want to play Gabe Davis and you want to think this is like the every other week type of thing here, you know, he probably should run most of his routes just like matchup wise against Deron Bland. And if you think about the guys that Bland has struggled with, he's definitely kind of engulfed these smaller receivers. I think back to the Seattle game where he had a couple of good reps on Tyler Lockett, but then like a bigger receiver like DK Metcalf, who, let me be super clear, DK Metcalf is way better than Gabe Davis. But again, just like size receiver wise, Gabe's not the biggest dude in the world, but he's certainly a X receiver, vertical threat type. If we're just thinking about wide receiver typology and archetypes. So I think that if you want to talk yourself into Gabe Davis, that's how you have to do it. I will say on the Cowboys side of it, you know, I think any of these receivers are fine if you kind of need that. Like if you're starting multiple receivers, three receivers, four receivers, I think you can get Gallup in there. You can maybe get Cooks in there. But really, Jake Ferguson to me is the guy that I just keep coming back to. I think in this matchup with some of the injuries at safety that Buffalo's dealing with right now, you know, I think Ferguson has been a real dude for the Cowboys this year, like a really nice, pleasant surprise. I think he's obviously a top five tight end play on the board this week.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree, especially with how up and down the tight end. It just feels like every single year, especially last year and this year, Matt, it's just been if you haven't had some of those top guys or gone to the waiver, you know, when you've started to see the utilization peak up a little bit, you're probably just you've been streaming and it's been really tough with some of these tight ends this season. So you look at Jake Ferguson, I think tight end 8 on the season. And I've seen people say there's some flukiness to the fantasy production because you've got the explosives, has the second highest first downs per target rate since their bye week, but just an 11.3% air yard share. But he's someone that I've just plugged in, and it's a plug and play for me because I, with the Cowboys this season, did not expect it to go as far as I want a piece of this offense. But it honestly has gotten to that point where I say, I want a piece of this offense. If Dak Prescott's going to have an MVP campaign type thing, I'm going to want the Brandon Cooks at some point. And I'm going to have to look at some of these guys and say, yeah, I think they're going to step up. So I think he is efficient with what he's done, with what he has, especially this season. And so for me, Jake Ferguson is a no-brainer in some of these lineups. Like you can go down the line, and I think there's a huge tier break from really good tight ends that you can trust to, you know, some of those other ones where you look at the David Njoku's and you kind of think to yourself, oh, okay, where am I really going to go with this here? Except, you know, Joe Flacco is just, you know, MVP campaign, talk about Joe Flacco, but I'm with you on Jake Ferguson. I think what he's been able to do, and I want a part of this offense. If they're going to have some of the highest totals on the weeks going week in, week out, I want a part of it. And I think Jake Ferguson does just that for us. So he's definitely starting for me, at least in a couple weeks this weekend.
Well, before we move on here, who's winning this game, you think? You said Dallas, right?
You know, I think it's the Cowboys, and I don't even know why I feel. I mean, I was kind of surprised when I saw that the Bills were favorites, but then, you know, they're at home, so you give them the home field advantage. Going to be cold, going to be a nice December mid-afternoon evening or whatever, so I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think they keep rolling.
I think I'll go Buffalo here. They got to have it type of factor. Yeah. I think they do have some matchup advantages, their offense versus this defense a little more. Look, I mean, the way Dak and CeeDee are playing and the way that CeeDee Lamb opens things up, I talk about that big CeeDee Lamb post route that always opens up the tight end. And previously it's like, oh, this opens up the Dalton Schultz hitch route. Well, now it opens up like, you know, big crossing routes and slant routes for Jake Ferguson. That's just a way different animal at that point. So they have their own matchup advantages on that side. I would say, though, I think like the way that they can potentially stop the run there, the Bills since week 8 are the 6th best run defense and rushing success rate allowed. I think that's a nice matchup on Buffalo's side of it. So I really think it's going to be an awesome game. I'll go Buffalo just because, again, I think they've got to have it. But you mentioned Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next game here. Chicago Bears at Cleveland Browns. This one's not as maybe necessarily sexy from a fantasy perspective, or like it certainly doesn't have the point total, right? The 38 and a half point total here for this game. But man, I think there's a, this actually could be a real defensive slugfest because the Browns defense is dealing with a lot of injuries, but has been good on the year. At the same time, though, the Bears defense has come on really strong lately, even before the Montez Sweat trade, but definitely since the Montez Sweat trade. And then Cleveland's dealing with injury issues on the offensive line. So if I'm sitting here thinking this is potentially a great NFL game, but, you know, where are the spots we can pick in fantasy that look pretty good to you?
Well, again, you don't need us to say you're starting Justin Fields. Probably you're probably not as confident, though. You're going up against the Browns defense. But you mentioned, you know, both defensive sides of the ball, like you said. I mean, Chicago's defense, we kind of left them for dead at the beginning of the year, as you should when you look at their record and what they were putting out on the field. Justin Fields being hurt. And then all of a sudden they're fifth in EPA allowed per play defensively since week seven. So you look at that. I mean, they've been the second best team against the run in that span too. So you say, you know, what's going to keep these guys in this game is going to be their defense in some of these parts. So I think, you know, you look at Justin Fields going up against that Browns defense, and that's tough. But the one thing that we know with Justin Fields is that he has the legs. So that's all that we need in fantasy football. I think DJ Moore is obviously going to be a really easy one. And I don't know why, when I was looking through this game, I also put down Cole Kmet, which feels just kind of gross. But I did. And I think, you know, with what we've been seeing from Joe Flacco on the other side of that ball, I think that Joe Flacco he's their fourth starting quarterback, and he's the best one on that team. And that is saying something when you're paying,
amazing.
When you're paying however many million, we're not going to get into it, but when you're paying however many million guaranteed, and you've got Joe Flacco coming in and being the best quarterback on your team. And then I look, Matt, just to look to the left, and I see the Jets, and I say, what the hell are you doing? You could have done this months ago. You had the first quarterback out of the season with an ACL tear, however many, seven plays in, and you didn't do this. You didn't go out and look for someone else, and you thought Zach Wilson was going to be the answer. Please. But anyway,
I mean, to give the Jets credit, it's not as if they had any familiarity with Flacco. Not like they would have had his number from last year.
Yeah, it's true. It's tough out there. So I really do. I look at Joe Flacco, right? And I look down through the stats, and I'm okay with some of these pass catchers. Now where I differ is when we do start to talk about the David Njoku's, like we said before. I don't know how much you want to risk, especially with how the Bears have looked. You've got DJ Moore going on the radio a couple days ago saying we want to win out. And while, you know, we can nod our head and say, yeah, that'd be great, DJ Moore, you've got a fired up team that obviously wants to keep, or the teammates want to keep, Justin Fields around. And you've got Justin Fields kind of playing for a lot. So I'm more on this Bears side with them surging at the right time. I believe when teams are really looking a little bit hot going into the fantasy playoffs, that there's some truth to it. So you kind of want to follow them. So I'm looking at them and saying, yeah, I really like this game for them. But you know what? Shout out to Joe Flacco. I think if you need a streaming quarterback and you're kind of, if you had Justin Herbert go down, that, I mean, honestly, Joe Flacco could be someone that you could pick up and could get you from game to game, depending on their opponents.
Yep, I like that a lot. I mean, Flacco's played really well. I think he's just running the offense. I made the joke on Twitter this week that, like, people were doing the mashup of Kevin Stefanski and Joe Flacco's face, and they look basically just like, if you put them together, they just look like Joe Flacco. And shout out to Joe Flacco, who, when asked about this, basically said, yeah, I'm a guy with a beard. And I say that all the time. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm just a... People are like, oh, you look a lot like this guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm a white guy with a beard. Like, whatever. I'm okay. We all look the same. But that was hilarious from Joe Flacco. So shout out to him. But it's like, it's almost taking a quarterback is that extension of the play caller, the head coach, a little too far, because that's really what Joe Flacco's doing, is he's just running the offense. Like, these windows are there. I think Stefanski's a really good coach. I think this has been a great proving ground moment for him. And I think Flacco, like I said, is just running and executing the offense and revealing that there are playmakers here. Again, I don't know if we're going to see it so much this week because just this Bears defense is playing well. But like, Elijah Moore is a good player. Amari Cooper is a great player. David Njoku has a ton of talent. Like, even friggin' David Bell popping up. Like, it's not as if David Bell, I don't think is a very good player. He hasn't been a very good NFL receiver, but he was just wide ass open, and Joe Flacco just took the open guy. So that's really what Flacco's doing here. I would just say, on the Bears side of it, it is kind of simple, right? From an offensive perspective, like, we know the dudes we're playing here. My only thing on the Bears is I do want to give a shout out to Phil Snow. If you want to be the smartest person on Sunday, mention the name Phil Snow, who was the Panthers defensive coordinator under Matt Rhule. Hell of a run Matt Rhule had with the Panthers. Ooh. And you know how these things go. They wipe out Matt Rhule. They wipe out his entire coaching staff there in Carolina. But like Phil Snow was doing some good stuff. Good stuff with the Panthers defense, especially in 2022. Phil Snow hired to be a consultant or, you know, one of these weird roles on the Bears coaching staff after the Vikings loss in week 6. Mm-hmm. You look at the Bears since week 7, they're 5th in EPA per play allowed and they're 9th in defensive success rate before the Montez Sweat trade. So if you want to be the smartest person at your football gathering on Sunday, be like, you know what? This Bears defense, you got to look back like Phil Snow. All right. That's my tip to all of you out there.
There we go. That's the one where you take it to Christmas dinner and you're just like, yeah, you want to flex on your friends that are like, what do you do again? And I'm like, oh, you want to know what I do? You want to talk about Phil Snow? They'll be like, who? I'll be like, exactly. That's it.
It's like, talk about I could make like a snow Christmas pun here, but exactly. Instead of doing that, let's just move on to the next game here. Joe Flacco's old team, Baltimore Ravens, going to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. We got a 42.5-point over under here. Let's talk Jaguars here. Cause honestly, yeah. I'm a little spooked. By both their defensive performance. I mean, definitely the defensive performance against Cleveland. That was rough. So probably good things for some of these Ravens players. But the way the offense looked, like, you know, miscommunications, you know, Press Taylor said, like, guys aren't running the wrong routes. It's just like they're maybe not in the right place where they should be. It's like, okay, I get that. And that's not as concerning as like these guys are running the wrong routes. Like they don't know the playbook, but it is a little concerning that we're in friggin' week 15 and we're talking about guys not being on the same page. You know, yeah. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think was put in a position to succeed not being healthy last week. So I'm worried about Lawrence. I'm worried about Ridley. I'm worried about all these passing game players. And even Travis Etienne, like they've not run the ball well all year. So are you going to help me bring down my level of concern about these Jaguars players, or do you share some of my concerns?
No, I definitely share some of your concerns. I think I'm just in general, I'm an optimistic person, which hurts me. You know, when I go to, you know, back the Seahawks and Geno Smith for a second year in a row, that obviously wasn't good, but it's tough. It's tough out there, Matt. But I do think the Jaguars are really interesting, right? Because you have a team that went into the playoffs last year, and something that I've learned, especially for this season, and going into next season when I'm drafting, Matt, is that I just need to take a little bit of a grain of salt with those late season surges, with the Jerry Jeudy surge for 3 weeks, with these Cinderella teams that go into it. And while I like Doug Peterson as a person and I want to like him as a coach, I don't know if they have been set up to succeed as much as we thought this season. I mean, you add Calvin Ridley, and to me, I said, well, there you go. You've got another weapon. You've got Christian Kirk. You've got Zay Jones, Evan Ingram. I mean, the connections there on offense alone, and then Travis Etienne. And I said, wow, I mean, you added, that means you were going to get better. It's just, it was like I looked at with the Seahawks. I said, you added Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the draft. He's phenomenal. You've got Kenneth Walker there and then Zach Charbonnet. But to me, Lawrence has played better as the season has gone on, right? He's 9th in EPA per play for the year among quarterbacks, but then no Christian Kirk. I think that the reason that this team may not make it as far into the playoffs or is because of their wide receivers. I don't know if Zay Jones is going to be able to come up, but here's the thing that makes me optimistic is that he's poised to take on this bigger role, right? And we've seen him make noise in the fantasy playoffs before. We've all been there. And so when I see that Christian Kirk is done, Jones stepped up, had a 93% route participation, 31% target share. You know what we like in fantasy football is the volume, and that's what you want to chase. So I really do believe that, first of all, I was shocked when I saw that Trevor Lawrence played last week. I think that you could have maybe let him rest and I would be in a totally different position this week. But he played nonetheless. And now we're going into week 15. Hopefully he's rested up and ready to go. I think that they're going to be a little bit better. But I still think that if there's anything on this team that we should be worried about, it's the wide receivers. Because again, Calvin Ridley, the up and down season coming into it, I didn't know at some portion of the middle of the season when to start him and when to be comfortable with it. And you can't have that with Calvin. I mean, Calvin Ridley, it was just one of those things where I thought, you know, plug and play every single week was going to be someone when you drafted him that you didn't have to worry about it. And now you do. So I think if there's one player on this team that I think could step up, it's Zay Jones, but that's also the player that they need to step up. And if he doesn't do it, then hopefully Evan Ingram can carry them. And Travis Etienne just has a hell of a last 3 weeks for the fantasy playoffs. But I share just as much worry with you with how banged up this team is and just how the play calling and everything that's gone into it.
Now, if we do want to trend optimistic, I'm really excited about the Ravens and where they're at right now, coming off their bye. First and foremost, like, the less is more approach has worked with Odell Beckham since week 10, I believe. He's fifth on the team in routes and first in receiving yards. Like, that less is more approach has been really good for him. At the same time, though, Zay Flowers leads the team in routes run by a country mile. I think it's Isaiah Likely's 96, and then Zay is 144. That's great to see. And best yet is that his target, average up to target, jumped up to 12, over 12, excuse me, the week off the bye. So feel really good about those two receivers there. Honestly, I think I feel pretty good about Isaiah Likely too. But where are we at with this running back group? Like these guys here. Yeah, that's where we're at, by the way, Kendall, is we're there. Yeah. Is there anyone, though, that you think fantasy managers can start in this matchup? If we're expecting a lot of points from Baltimore in this spot, is there any way that we can start one of these running backs with confidence?
I think it's Keaton Mitchell. I really do. I think, you know, we had a SiriusXM show and we have one of the segments is it's time to move on. And funny enough, we said, hey, it might be time and not move on. Like, you're not dropping guys. Like, please don't do that. Oh my gosh, don't do that. But we said it's time to move on from Gus Edwards. What we've seen from the bye, after the bye, you've got two fantasy points after that. Even before then, they obviously want to get looks at what Keaton Mitchell is going to be like. And I love the Gus bust train. I loved every single moment when he was getting us fantasy points and scoring all those touchdowns. But at this point, it just seems too volatile to try and figure out when that's going to happen. And if you look at the utilization and you tell yourself, okay, he's not getting what we would want. It's more going towards Keaton Mitchell. Justice Hill, I feel like people have not been starting him anyway, so you don't need to worry about him. But I really do. I think it's Keaton Mitchell, and then you could have a spike week from Gus Edwards, but it's almost that situation, Matt, where I don't know if I'm going to be able to predict when it is. And so I'd rather go down my list of running backs on my bench or someone else who I'm starting, someone else who I'm putting in the flex spot, and say, I think I have a better chance starting one of these other guys than Gus Edwards, who could also get me, just like last week, two fantasy points, which is what you can't have in the fantasy playoffs.
Yep. Just looking at the game log since, like, Keaton Mitchell started to emerge around that week nine game against Seattle. Now, obviously, before that, there were some real games from Gus Edwards where he was getting, like, you know, 19 carries, three targets, literally the week before against the Arizona Cardinals. But then every game since then, it's honestly like Gabe Davis-y, right? Like, 7.2 points, 9.3 points, 20 points, but then we're down to 4.2, 1.5. I mean, if we're talking about a Ravens offense that's going to move the ball against this Jags secondary, which is what I expect, and I think what we all expect, Gus Edwards is going to be in position to punch in a couple touchdowns. But like you said, a guy who has 8 carries, 6 carries, that's just not someone that you can you can't start to feel good about. What we just said, the whole Gabe Davis exercise, that's what you'll be doing on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. I just, and here's the thing, like, in some leagues, you might not have a choice, right? And I've got a couple deep leagues where I say, I would much rather go with Gus Edwards than anyone else that I'm looking down the line than, I don't know, Jamal Williams. Like, no, be so for real with that. But when you're in those really close ones, right? And you say, okay, I've got two guys, I really just tend to look more to all the stats that are put out and the volume and who's going to get more touches and who's going to have more of those opportunities and those looks in the red zone. And I think that, you know, it could be Keaton Mitchell. Would I be shocked if Gus Edwards, you know, is able to break off a long run and find the end zone? Absolutely not. But that's just where we're at. And it's kind of gross, but that's why we love fantasy football, is it's more go with the stats. And then at the end of the day, go with your gut. Because if you cannot face yourself the next day because you just didn't kind of go with it, it's going to be hard to look yourself in the mirror. So that's kind of where I'm at.
It's hard to look yourself in the mirror. That's the tagline of fantasy football, certainly here in 2023. Let's move on to the final game in the binge category, Seattle Seahawks, Kendall. They're welcoming the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off a couple of tough losses here, 47.5 point over under. This is another game. Feels like we're starting almost everybody here.
We are. I think so. The first ever flexed Monday Night Football game. I'm feeling a little sick to
hopefully
my stomach
about it. Hopefully we don't get friggin' Drew Locke. I mean, come on. Like
Matt, that's the thing. It's just, it's so funny because I can sit here and I can say, oh, start everyone up, fire them up. Seahawks actually could have a chance to win if Geno Smith is in. And then Drew Locke goes in and I'm sorry, Drew Locke. And I've unintentionally followed him throughout like his whole career because I was in Denver when he was there and I was covering the Broncos and I was like, yikes. Okay, there we go. Thought I got rid of it. And then they went out and got him back on the Seahawks. So I said, okay, great. Here we are. I'm from Seattle, if no one knows. So that's why I'm a little Seahawks homer fan here, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. No, I'm just kidding, but you are really starting everyone here. I mean, AJ Brown is a no-brainer every single week. We can talk, I guess, about, you know, the Eagles running backs. They have not DeAndre Swift. And I looked back, Matt, because I thought, was there a shift with DeAndre Swift in his usage? And there hasn't been. I mean, it's just been the game scripts that they've been looking at. And so when you look at them and they're trailing or they're in these games where they just need to come back and gain some momentum, you're not going to see, we all know that, you're not going to see DeAndre Swift out there. So I think with DeAndre Swift in this game, I think that if they go back to that consistent rushing production and they're in a good game script for him, which I think they are going to be against a pretty bad Seattle Seahawks defense, I think DeAndre Swift couldn't produce from more than what he's been producing at up until this point. But yeah, you're starting like Devontae Smith, you're starting. I mean, I would even go ahead and say, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, just because of this Eagles defense. I mean, you're probably firing him up in a flex spot because of the potential that he has with his matchups this weekend and how many points that the Eagles give up to opposing wide receivers. You're probably looking at this matchup and like just you know, seeing stars, because I am, because at least for a fantasy point purpose, they could be scoring a lot of points here.
Especially from a slot receiver perspective, that's where we typically see the Eagles give up a lot of production, even though the outside corners have been quite generous this year too. So I'm with you that like DeAndre Swift really is kind of the pivot point here in this one. It's not a great matchup for the Seahawks running backs either.
No.
Although I feel like Kenneth Walker at this point is a guy that like if you have to play him. I wouldn't be messing around with Zach Charbonnet, but I think Swift is the pivot point here, and you're talking me into feeling a little bit more positive about it, because I definitely think like that run game has just been so unproductive and he has been so unproductive. But it's an ideal matchup. Again, since week 7, the Seahawks are 30th in rushing success rate allowed. So if Swift is a guy very similar to some of these other players we're talking about, like it's a tough week to trust him, but there are some indicators here.
I'm looking at this game and I'm saying to myself, I think that the Eagles are going to go in and I do think they're going to win this game, but with the schedule that they've had and that they've gone through, this is a breath of fresh air for them. They are seeing the Seahawks and they're saying to themselves, okay, this is where we can finally get things a little bit put together. So I'm not starting Charbonnet in most leagues, but I'm looking at Kenneth Walker and feeling confident. I'm looking at a Devontae Smith, a Jackson Smith and Jigba, and feeling honestly okay, because like we said, the fantasy points are there. And Swift, I think Swift with the game script and how they're going to be going back and forth, I think he could be a pivotal player in this game.
All right, let's move into the stream category here. Programming note for you people, if you're listening Saturday night, you know, you don't go out on Saturday nights. No booze for you. This is fantasy playoffs. You're serious. You're at home. You're dialed in on your podcast right now, or it's Sunday morning. I mean, shout out to you for all that. Shout out to listening. The first three games in the stream category, though, are all games on Saturday. So if those games have already happened, feel free to skip ahead if you're looking for the rest of the Sunday slate. So let's get started with the first game on Saturday. Minnesota Vikings at Cincinnati Bengals, 40.5 point over under. Obviously, these are our stream games. They're not quite as sexy, not quite as robust as the binge games. And this one in particular, Kendall, I mean, this is another, like, mostly guys we know. Is it really just, I don't know, like, what's the status with Chase? What's the status with Justin Jefferson? Obviously, we're playing those guys, but I think they're sort of the pivot points of this game.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're good to go, right? Hey, Jamar Chase says, I'm playing. Okay, perfect. Justin Jefferson, perfect. I know every single person got burned last week, including me, including you, putting him back into our starting lineups. And I was sick to my stomach. And I'm sure that was the catapult for some of you for not being in the playoffs. So if you're listening to this and that was you, I am genuinely so sorry. But no, you're right.
Thank you for still listening to the podcast.
But thank you. We appreciate you so much. But Minnesota Vikings, this is going to be so interesting because to me, Jake Browning, I look at what they're doing and you see kind of like the charts that they're putting out and he's doing well, right? I'm like, Okay, they're breaking off these long runs, which is making him look even better. And then, you know, you've got a game with the Minnesota Vikings and they decided that they don't think that Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut, is going to be that guy to win them games. I was honestly surprised by that decision. But then you can go and look and say, okay, well, if they don't believe that, then maybe we shouldn't either. So I honestly think that a change in quarterback right now for going from Dobbs to Mullins is actually going to be better for this team because you're seeing something different. Maybe they're smarter than us. Maybe they know things we don't. So I'm honestly very excited, as always, to fire up Justin Jefferson. You're firing up TJ Hawkinson. I haven't seen any updates on Alexander Mattison yet, but you have a good backup in Ty Chandler. And so if Alexander Mattison isn't in, I honestly think Ty Chandler out of those two running backs is the better running back of the two. So he has a chance to go out there. I think where you kind of turn, you say, okay, Jordan Addison, when Justin Jefferson is on the field, I don't know how comfortable you can get putting him in your flex spot and believing that Mullins is going to be able to produce two good enough fantasy outings from those two wide receivers. I think he is the one where I look at him and I say, take a step back. Don't play him because it's just if Justin Jefferson really is good to go, he's probably not going to get those looks that you would want. So I think that's where I lean in this game. And Chase Brown has been fun at running back for the Bengals. That's been a fun one where, you know, he took over that role. So now kind of the RB2 on that team, Joe Mixon. Is obviously Matt still going to be Joe Mixon and going to be the guy. But if you're looking at a late season surge, I picked him up in a couple leagues just in case. We never want injuries, but what if? And he's already shown and they've shown that they trust him a little bit more. So he took over that role and that was kind of exciting.
I am a truly broken, disgusting person because of how much I have refreshed the BetMGM player prop page on the Chase Brown receiving production.
Yes.
And it's not up there yet, but... This team, Minnesota, blitzes so much, and they've gotten both Mixon and Chase Brown involved in the screen game. I think that's going to be critical for the Bengals. So I really think it's mostly just Jamar Chase. It's mostly just going to be those running backs. I'm kind of off on T. Higgins, same with, like you said, with Jordan Addison. But T.J. Hockenson, potential eruption spot here. Bengals are not good at covering tight ends. And Nick Mullins, one thing he's going to do is he's going to throw the ball more than Josh Dobbs because he's not going to be the same scramble threat. And he targeted the hell out of T.J. Hockenson last week. So let's move to the second Saturday game here in which the Steelers are involved. Honestly, I want to just put the Steelers and banish them into the skip category. And I was very close. At the same time, though, the Colts are, you know, they've got Michael Pittman, right? Michael Pittman is a top 12 receiver on the season. I think he's obviously a must start in this one. But do you have the stomach, Kendall, to play any Steelers here? In what, like, if you look at the Colts defense, there are spots to pick. Receiver production, it's there on the table. The run defense, they're 31st in rushing success rate since week 7. So do you have the stomach, Kendall, to come on this show, you know, which trillions of people listen to, and say, like, yeah, get the Steelers in your lineup?
No, I don't want the hate mail coming for me 2 days after. There's no chance. I really can't. I can't look at it and say it. I can't see a situation. And here's the thing. Maybe I'm going to be wrong. And sure, Mitch Trubisky, go out there and have the game of your career. I would absolutely, honestly, I would love to see that. I don't think it's going to happen, though. And so I don't think it could happen. And honestly, it's more for me when I look at the Colts. I mean, what they've been able to do with a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew is just like that wasn't plan A or probably plan B. I mean, they're down to him and he was there, but being able to still be in playoff conversations because of that, they're averaging 25 points per game this season. I mean, Shane Steichen, if he's not, I haven't checked the odds, but I mean, that's really a coach of the year kind of guy, because you go from losing an Anthony Richardson, who was phenomenal, was going to break fantasy football, or at least we we hoped so and had some of those spots. And then I say, oh, okay, they're kind of, you know, dead man walking. And then all of a sudden we're here in week 15 and this is not in the skip category of the show because of that. So I'm with you. I can't start any of these Steelers wide receivers. I just, the team right now is also just, it's weird vibes with people saying, with people like, you know, they don't care and they're selfish. Then you got Ben Roethlisberger coming out and saying stuff about coaching. When a team is like that and it's kind of circling, it's just, I don't want to get behind that kind of team. I'd rather go for a team that maybe has nothing to stand on, but at least they have, you know, pride and they feel like they can rally themselves together. So I just can't do it. Sorry, Steelers fans. I apologize.
Yeah, I was reading an article in The Athletic about Allen Robinson, and the headline, it was just about like how he is moving into this role as like a slot receiver and like a blocker. And look, I'm the longest time, you know, Allen Robinson fanboy. You know, that is my freaking guy. So I'm like reading that like an old proud relative, like, oh man, you know, I'm glad you found peace, or like talking to a ghost on the other side. Like, you found peace in this next journey of your career. There's so many weird analogies thrown out right now, but the headline is literally Allen Robinson was once like Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. Then he grew up. So I think that is the state of the Steelers you are talking about right now. So they need a win pretty badly here, but they're also getting like Mason Rudolph potentially ready to come play. What a disaster. So last thing we'll just talk about in this game, I'm still very confident about Zach Moss. I know, like, it's just the process, mm-hmm. the role, the utilization, all this stuff. Like, it's there. Why can he not bounce back against the Steelers defense?
Yeah, I'm with you. Zach Moss, there was a clip going around where I was just like, hey, congratulations, Zach Moss managers. Like, you might have just found the cheat code for these last 3 weeks of the season. And it hasn't happened. And it was kind of a dud outing for his second one without Jonathan Taylor. We can say that. 83% snap share, 76% of the Colts rushing attempts. It's all right there. Active in the passing game too, 77% route participation, 21% target share. So I still think of him as the low end RB1, and I'm probably starting him in more spots than I'm not because of the potential, I guess, and what we saw from earlier in the season. But that also sometimes holds me back because I say, we saw it earlier. Why can't it happen? And why can't it happen in this game? So I'm with you. I think that he is startable unless you go out and look at some of the, you know, other running backs that you have on your team, and maybe there's better options. But I think as long as Jonathan Taylor's out, that's going to be a pretty hard guy to put on your bench just because of what could happen.
Final game on Saturday, Denver Broncos at Detroit Lions here. This is a pretty clean cut game to me. We know the players were playing here, but anything stand out to you, Kendall?
Jerry Jeudy? No, I'm kidding.
You know, he had his chances last week. Certainly had his chances.
I had to. I mean, no, I think this could be a good game for, I can't even say it without like thinking about it, for the Lions. I mean, the Lions recently, I want to restore the roar as much as anyone. I think I'm one of their biggest bandwagon fans because I love them so much. And I love Dan Campbell and whatever we're doing with kneecaps and stuff. But, you know, Jared Goff is going to be back in a dome, which is where he thrives. I think that if you look at game environment, I know the Denver Broncos defense have been coming up a little bit six of their last seven games. I mean, they're on a tear. They're really there in the AFC West and really looking at the Chiefs and saying, hey, you know, watch out. We're right behind
you.
I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest with you. But I mean, Cortland Sutton has been able to come out and just get some of these touchdowns where I say, wow, okay. I mean, he's kind of having that sneaky good season. So I think this is a bounce back spot, though. I do really think that the Lions get back going here. I don't think we've seen them as much as we've wanted to in their top tier of production. And so I think with Jared Goff a little bit spooked these last few weeks, I think this is the part where he comes in, he says, I'm back at home. You know, I think the only person on that team, you know, we love Laporta, we love everyone. I think it's what you don't start Jameson Williams. I mean, and Jerry Jeudy, you probably haven't been starting for a while. So I think that's where you leave it.
Yeah. Like I said, pretty clean cut game there. Yeah. So let's move on to the Sunday action. 49ers at Cardinals. Let's waste no time on 49ers. You play all those dudes, and if you're playing here in fantasy football playoff time, you probably got some 49ers on your team, so you go ahead. You're going to go ahead and play those. What about the Cardinals, though? Coming off their bye, Marquise Brown, is he healthier? Trey McBride? Well, Trey McBride is obvious, I think, at this point. He's in the circle of trust, but tough defensive matchup here for some of these guys. Is there anyone you trust on that side of it?
Man, you know, I really wanted to believe, and I still do believe, I can put it out there, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, because it's the Cardinals, and I'm just trying to find some positivity anywhere on this team, because Kyler Murray as a passer hasn't been it since he came back. We kind of know that, but when looking through the stats of their next three games in the fantasy playoffs, I don't know if you can't tell yourself, okay, the 49ers going into last week, I wasn't able to get the updated numbers, but they were 25th in PPR points per game allowed to wide receivers. So you tell yourself, okay, maybe if Kyler Murray can get it there, that's good. They play the Bears then in and the Bears are 16th, and then they play the Eagles in week 17, and we all know they're 32nd. And so, I mean, Marquise Brown banged up. I think if there was ever a sleeper that could maybe come out and make some noise, maybe it's Rondale. But again, it's just so tough. Michael Wilson, if he comes back from that injury, is going to kind of push Dortch back down the line. And then we know Trey McBride. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wait, what about Trey McBride? Yes, you're playing Trey McBride because he has been phenomenal as that tight end for them. That Zach Ertz is now out of the picture. Not that he ever really was in the picture, but I don't know. I think I can look at some of these guys and try and start some of them, but I'm trying to be optimistic with them. If you were able to pick someone up and maybe need someone to start in a pinch because of some of the injuries, that maybe it could happen with this wide receiver group. But it starts with Kyler, you know, being better as a passer. So I don't know. This could get out of hand pretty quickly too. So it's not good.
12.5 point road favorites are the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. I like me a Michael Wilson if he can get out there. But he's come back, you know, from a neck injury. So keep your eye on him. He could be a potential sleeper down the rest of the season. Let's move on to the next one here. Bucks, Packers. Packers are 3.5 point favorites after losing to the fighting Tommy DeVito's on Monday Night Football. 41.5 point over under here. This actually could definitely see this game going over. The Packers defense is on my, like, they're on my list right now. Okay. Like after that performance, look, shout out to DeVito, but like, how are you getting ripped up by quarterback runs with Tommy DeVito that deep into the game? I mean, what are we doing here? It's like a tale as old as time. The Packers cannot stop rushing quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, not a rushing quarterback, but again, if Jordan Love can push it on this Bucs secondary, and that embarrassing Packers defense can give it up, I kind of think this could be a sneaky shootout here, Kendall.
No, I completely agree. And for fantasy purposes, anyone that, you know, goes against the Bucs, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay attention to this game.
Yes.
I love the Packers. I love Jordan Love. I think that he's from where we started at the beginning of the season, right? With the accuracy, I mean, issues is putting it nicely. I mean, it wasn't very good, but I do look at this game. I mean, I don't have enough Mike Evans on any of my best ball teams, and I should have. So Mike Evans, you don't need us to tell you. And Rashad White, oh my God. Gosh, the just, again, the pure volume. There was no one else behind him. I was happy to draft him in some of these leagues. And the way that they've been using him of late, I mean, is one of 15 running backs with a team rushing share over 50%. I mean, only it's that puts him in line with guys like Christian McCaffrey running more routes and having more targets. And so the upside there with him, I'm there for it. You know, I haven't seen any updates while we're recording this for Christian Watson. I think the hamstring stuff has been just so deflating almost and disappointing, but thank goodness that, you know, Jaden Reed has a really great connection with Jordan Love. Same with Romeo Doubs when I look at it. So I'm okay with starting some of those guys. I think you might have better options. I think Jaden Reed on that Monday night game, 26.3% target share, along with some other things there, that he might be the silver lining in this group. So I'm there. And then, of course, you know, the Tucker Kraft situation, I think if you're streaming, might be a little bit too risky for me. But if you need to, the tight end position has been so tough, like we said, in fantasy before. So maybe he's someone you look at. But I love this game. I think that there actually could be a lot of fantasy points scored here.
Yeah, just keep an eye on the injuries for sure. Because Jaden Reed's dealing with a little ankle thing. Dontavian Wicks said his ankle is effed up and he might have a high ankle sprain.
Perfect.
So, which is great. I love Dontavian Wicks. I really wish he could get out there to be a kind of a deep sleeper, like I said, in this one. So, I mean, look, if Jordan Love is having to get down to like Romeo Doubs and then the Samori Toure's of the world, this is not ideal. And that could put a damper on what we just said. But I think if everybody's at full strength, it's a very exciting fantasy game. I'm not sure that Jets Dolphins is an exciting fantasy game. 37.5 point over under here for our next one. I mean, we saw what Zach Wilson did last week. What's your level of confidence that we see that again this week?
Zero.
1 to 10.
Zero. Yeah, okay. Zero. Negative five. Negative. I don't want to risk my season saying, oh yeah, he's going to do this again. There's just no chance. I can't even, when I look through this game, I just try and tell myself, okay, what could look good in this? And I'm like, Tyree, the whole Dolphins offense, that's what could look good, Matt. I just look at that and I tell myself,
I might be more concerned about the Dolphins offense than you are.
I would say I'm kind of concerned, but if I'm looking at, a healthy Tua who is looking good, and then you kind of go down the line and you say if Tyreek Hill's good, but the ankle injury is freaking me out with Tyreek Hill a little bit. And so I think if you have Achan, Raheem Mostert, obviously Raheem Mostert was the bigger guy in that game last week. That's what I'm looking at, but I'm kind of with you. I'm a little bit nervous with the offense for the Dolphins right now. And just from especially that last game we saw where it was a complete and total meltdown where you were up by that many points with however many minutes, 2 or 3 minutes to go. And you allowed that to happen against that kind of team was something where I said, okay, this is when the conversation starts of what, how far can you go with this team that we've said all season long is so incredible, but then you lose Tyreek Hill for a big portion of it. And then that's when I think I tweeted something saying, this is why Tyreek Hill needs to be in the MVP conversation, just in the conversations alone, because this offense, I mean, they stalled, they stuttered. There was no answer. Where were they going? So imagine, we never want injuries. If that actually were to happen, I got really nervous seeing him not out there for as long as he was out and seeing that they had no other answers besides that.
Yeah. And Jalen Waddle just had a super quiet season. Achan's dealing with another injury potentially. I actually think the Dolphins might be on like upset watch in this one, which is crazy. But I mean, shoot, they're 8.5 point, like give me Jets +8.5. And I might only be saying this, Kendall, full disclosure, because I have CJ Stroud as the only quarterback left standing in a super flex league in my fantasy playoffs. And I might have to start either or both, because it's super flex, of Zach Wilson and Bailey Zappe. Like, that's what my pathetic, life has come to after our boy Daniel Jones. Our boy Daniel Jones out, lost him, lost Kirk Cousins, down to CJ Stroud. Yep. And now I'm like, well,
here we go.
Friggin' week 15. And do I decide, what do I do between Bailey Zappe, Zach Wilson, or is the answer both? So that's what I'm dealing with in my life with this fantasy football. what a cool, fun game. So I'm actually, fingers friggin' crossed we get something good out of Zach Wilson for me and me alone. With the Bailey Zappe thing I just mentioned, let's move to the next game here. Yeah. Chiefs at Patriots. And I actually don't even really want to talk about this game because I actually kind of think it's pretty simple, right? Like, don't start anyway from the Patriots if you can help it.
Yeah.
Although I do think Pop Douglas coming back is a little interesting. And obviously, let me take that back. Zeke, play Zeke. You probably got to hate start Zeke. Pop Douglas, a little bit interesting. On the Chiefs side, we can talk about the running backs there if you'd like to. I would not like to. No. What I really want to ask you in this game, Kendall, have the Kansas City Chiefs officially entered their villain era? Ooh. And I say this because now, and I might be saying this and I might be late to the party, because I did go on my buddy Gordon Merck and Dan Savage, their Jets YouTube page, Jets Therapy, shout out to them. And you know, I was like, what do you guys think of Mahomes? You know, because they had just recently played him, and they're like, oh, we freaking hate that guy, like, because he's too good, and he's, you know, out there looking for fouls all the time. And I'm like, oh man, because in my little football bubble here, we all love Mahomes. It's like, my God, Mahomes is taking over as the GOAT for Brady and all, you know, we love Mahomes. But do regular people just hate, like, and I say regular people, I always say it in a kind way, okay? I mean that, like, normal, well-adjusted, normal people. You guys are better than me, okay? So do normal people already hate Mahomes? But then, like, what happened Sunday with the whole ref kerfuffle? And I know, like, he apologized afterwards, but it's like, you know, you can't sometimes put the toothpaste back in the tube. Andy Reid is like, he's complaining about it. It just reeked of like entitlement, right? So does this become the moment where the Chiefs have officially entered the villain era? Because you can only, NFL fans, even ones like us that live and die with the sport, you know, 365 days a year, don't have a regular life. I'm speaking for me and not you there. We can only stand someone winning so much. And have we hit max like with the Chiefs where it's like, all right, we just want to see something else at this point.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Villain era, which I don't know if we should be scared about or not, because, you know, when people get into their villain era, then they just continue to just thrive a little bit. Yeah. Like, maybe they'll like that. So, no, I 1,000%.
It worked for the Patriots. It worked
exactly,
for the Patriots.
Exactly. So, I don't know if we shouldn't be scared that no, but I think what we saw, especially in that game, when he went up to Josh Allen and in the huddle, and you're just supposed to say one thing. You're supposed to say good game. You're supposed to say, you know, great fight, whatever it is. He goes into his ear. I mean, up close in his ear is just like that, you know, that was the worst call ever. I can't believe it. And Josh is just sitting there like, okay, I don't know what to do here. Like that's your problem, not mine. When, by the way, Kadarius Toney was so far offside. It was stupid. I mean, it was so dumb. It was dumb. So please stop complaining. But I agree. I think people are starting to not like them. I think, though, that when I watched that back and I kind of watched all the interactions and stuff, Patrick Mahomes is frustrated. And I think more of the frustration of how bad this wide receiver group is flowed out to then, you know, be something else, where he's probably more mad at the season that they are having. And that just came out because of that one bad call. And oh yeah, again, it's Kadarius Toney doing something dumb that he just says, I'm going to use this to just get my frustration out, which I that seems understandable, because that is a bad wide receiver group besides Rashee Rice, who they should be giving a more full-time role to. And I'd be frustrated too, but yeah, it's definitely a villain era. People will not like them probably the rest of the season. Maybe Taylor Swift can save him, though. Maybe
that's true. The Swifties versus the disgruntled NFL fans. What could possibly be? What could possibly
Sounds
be
good.
More toxic?
I'd watch
that. I would tune in. I would just say final thoughts on that. One, 100%. Like, I don't look. I can give Mahomes grace in that moment. Like, I wouldn't want my frustrations being aired on national television. And even like Josh Allen said, like, I don't care in a press conference this week. Like, it's really and truly not a big deal. But like I said, when you're that successful, when you're on top for as long as they have been on, I mean, Mahomes has not played any freaking road playoff game in his entire career, but he probably will be this year. Some of those frustrations definitely seeped into that moment. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me personally. I am still going to like Mahomes and find the Chiefs and Andy Reid and the whole thing likable. But I do think that for most of the NFL audience, this is the time and place we will look back. You know, I don't know where you can pinpoint it with the Patriots. It wasn't certain early in the Patriots dynasty, but you know, maybe around like, I don't know, you know, definitely Spygate, or maybe even a little bit before Spygate. That was when they entered their villain era. I think we could be looking back at like, that was the Chiefs entering their villain era. Like I said, that's not fantasy relevant, but I don't care. This is my podcast and I wanted to talk about that and I had to get it off my chest.
I respect it.
With that, let's move to a very exciting game here. New York Giants at New Orleans Saints. Greg Rosenthal said it best. I saw on Twitter of NFL Network. It's the vibe bowl here. Like all the good vibes with the Giants, all the worst vibes possible with the New Orleans Saints. So with all of that, if vibes matter, the Giants are going to blow out the Saints. I don't know if vibes really matter that much. At the end of the day, talent does matter, and the Saints do have some legit talent, although the Giants do as well. What stands out to you in this game?
The Saints hating each other. I don't know. Like the Saints not liking. I mean, I said that with another team, I think, earlier. I mean, are we sure that they like each other? I don't think they do.
I'm sure they don't.
I don't think they like Derek Carr.
I'm sure they don't.
I don't think they... it is an unraveling mess. And whatever team we talked about that in the beginning, just copy paste. I mean, are you okay with it here? I mean, Alvin Kamara, that's super easy against the Giants. Was kind of disappointing last week. I mean, but since the week 11 bye, still looked like a really good version of himself. 273, 3 touchdowns, 41 carries, and 18 targets in 3 games. So I think the more frustrating part here is that, Ian Harditz does the Sheesh report every week. And every single week, I just command F to find where Chris Olave is going to be. And I just say to myself, perfect. This is great.
As soon as you said Ian's name, I knew where you were going with that.
It's fantasy hell. 1,093 unrealized air yards this season. And nobody else even has 900. So that, for anyone listening, that just means Derek Carr sucks. That's where I'm at. It's not fun. So, I mean, Kamara, I mean, DeVito is a fun story. We always like to kind of hang on to fun stories. So Saquon in that one, I say, okay, bring it on. Let's see it. I'd love to, next season when we kind of look more at our guy coming back, Daniel Jones, and when he's going to do that. I am curious of Jalen Hyatt intrigued me this season, not enough to make any kind of, assumption about him going into it or seeing where he's going to be drafted next season, but he's fast. Other than that, no, it's Alvin Kamara. You can enjoy your unrealized air yards from Olave, and then hope for the best. It's the vibes. Hope for
if he
vibes.
Plays. I mean, shoot, he's got an ankle injury too now. Chris Olave, Taysom Hill limited. He might be back, and that's their best play in the red zone is Taysom Hill. So certainly on the list of options there. Yeah, man, I will not be on Daniel Jones next year. I'll tell you that. And I'm interested to see what DeVito does in this spot. All right, final game in the stream category, Washington Commanders at LA Rams. And honestly, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a terrible, terrible podcast host. What an idiot. This game should have been way higher in the rundown. not because the Commanders belong in the binge category. They categorically do not belong in the binge category. But the Rams, tell me why Kendall, Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, how are they not going to absolutely obliterate this week?
Oh yeah, they're going to destroy. That's the thing. Yeah. I think, anyone, if you're in underdog, best ball, whatever, I mean, Dwayne said it on the air a couple days ago and then tweeted it. You're probably going to win with the Cooper, Kupp, Puka Nacua, Matthew Stafford stack. That someone is going to win the $3 million just from that alone. And this is a spot where they're smash plays. They're all smash plays. Cooper Kupp, I think, will go, to the moon a little bit more than, that's what Dwayne liked to say, but it will kind of go to the moon more than Puka Nacua this week. But you're starting and you're excited about, I think so too. I think Cooper Kupp could be bigger in this game. And maybe that's because I have more Cooper Kupp than Puka Nacua. So I'm trying to speak it into existence where it doesn't hurt as badly. But I really do with Matthew Stafford too. I mean, we've talked about it during this podcast about teams that are just coming on and coming together at the right time. And that's exactly what this Rams team is doing. And did I maybe expect it? Probably not to this extent, but I think Matthew Stafford in the spot is going to be really good. And yeah, I think Cooper Kupp, I mean, it's looking really good for him too. The Rams passing attack, they've been on this heater. Stafford's averaging 267 yards, 3.3 touchdown passes, and they've gone up against hard teams. So you can't tell me that I'm not looking at this game for this weekend and I'm saying, okay, this is a smash spot for everyone involved, no matter. And it's the Commanders. The Commanders are not good. I mean, you can put up a ton of fantasy points against the Commanders. So I'm ready for it. I think they're all going to be great.
Yeah, dead last in dropback EPA since week 7. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. And it's a great schedule down the stretch for the Rams. It's a good point by Dwayne about them potentially bringing home a lot of titles here. Washington, New Orleans, New York Giants in week 17. So that is definitely a big spot for them. All right. We have two games in the skip category here. And
we do.
Houston Texans at Tennessee Titans, 37.5 point over under. The Texans, it's been quite a long time since you've been in the skip category. And Texans, it's not your fault. Okay. It's merely the football gods, the injury gods have cursed you here. You're going to be without Tank Dell, obviously. You're going to be without Nico Collins now, most likely. And even CJ Stroud is looking unlikely to play. It's probably going to be Davis Mills. So that does firmly put you – Davis Mills, it's throwing to Robert Woods and Noah Brown. That gets you in the damn skip category. But just real quick, Kendall, one thing people should know about this game, and I'm hoping you say something about the Titans, not the Texans at this point.
I think Will Levis is a very streamable quarterback this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I think that's my thing. You know, I've gotten so many, and we've been through it. The quarterback situations and all the injuries are so brutally awful that at this point, if you lost Justin Herbert and you're just kind of in one of those leagues where you had, you kind of had garbage on your bench because you had Justin Herbert, I mean, you're probably looking at streaming these next 3 weeks. And I think Will Levis could be one where if you want to just stomach it, this is, again, you're probably going to be sick to your stomach doing it. But I do think in this spot that maybe there is a chance that things just continue to progress right for Levis. Maybe the connection with DeAndre Hopkins is good enough. And that you have some fun with it. And oh yeah, you've got the one and only Derrick Henry. So there you go. That's what
Derrick Henry versus the Texans, the trend.
The trend.
Will Levis jacked Jay Cutler. I would love to have him more than damn Bailey Zappi or whatever I'm dealing with in that Superflex league I mentioned.
It's true.
Final game of week 15. Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers. I mean, the Panthers have had a permanent residence here in the skip category for quite some time. I have nothing to say about that operation. I hope you don't either. So give me one thing people should know about the Falcons this week.
Hopefully Arthur Smith doesn't mess it up for you and Bijan Robinson is good.
I mean, he's in a complete smash spot against.
He's in a smash spot unless Arthur Smith hates us and just says, you know what? I'm not doing this week. We're actually going to go with Cordell Patterson and then I'll throw up.
Well, I really do think Arthur Smith like actually is leaning into the trolling the fantasy thing.
Oh, yes.
This would be his magnum opus this week. Bijan Robinson, Carolina Panthers matchup in week 15. He knows it. Somebody's told him it's week 15. It's the first week of the fantasy playoffs. And he's like, you know what? We can listen. And the thing is, Kendall, it doesn't matter. Like he can give Tyler Allgeier 25 carries and exactly. Bijan Robinson 3 carries and Cordero Patterson, you know, let me flip that ratio one more time. He could give Cordero Patterson 25 carries. He could give Tyler Allgeier 8 carries and Bijan Robinson 2 carries and they can still beat the damn Panthers. That's the thing. So it's a win-win for our guy, Arthur Smith. And there's a potential lose-lose for us. I'm being facetious. I think Bijan does smash in this one. He has he's been crushing of late from an opportunity perspective. So I'm feeling pretty good. At least and feeling good about one thing here.
Yeah, and Drake London. I'll give Drake London some credit there because while I was being totally sarcastic and I hope that it doesn't happen with Bijan Robinson where we sit here the week after and we say, "Wow, how did we get to this point?" Oh yeah, it's because Arthur Smith hates us. I do think Drake London is in some kind of position when you look at him and you say he could be a fantasy goldmine, but he's kind of on the wrong team. It's just if he was anywhere else that we'd be super happy with it. But I still hold out some kind of hope that he's going to be good. But low end wide receiver 3, you might have better options. You might not. And so that's where we're going to be at.
I love it. Well, the people know that I agree with you on Drake London and being excited about Drake London. But hey, Kendall, we did it. We previewed the entire week 15 slate. Shout out to you for jumping on the pod here. I know you got a lot going on. Tell the people about what you're working on at Fantasy Life and what they can check out with you.
Yeah, can't say more great things. You know, I gave a lot of utilization report data from Dwayne McFarland, which is the best thing going on. So you have to go over there and check it out. If you don't already, just does a great job every single week. But fantasylife.com is where you can see everything. You know, we've got incredible articles every single week and all our tools are 100% free. And same with our best bets. So you told me to go bet the Jets. I'm going to go look at what the line is from our best bets tool. And I'm going to say, Matt Harmon made me do this and I'm going to take a screenshot and I'm going to send it out into the world. But yeah, fantasylife.com at K Valenzuela 17 on Twitter for me. And then at MB Fantasy Life across all our social platforms.
Well, this might be the last time you and I ever speak, depending on how that Jets bet goes. So yeah. I'm glad there's a lot of pressure on that. But hey, a lot of pressure on you people out there to make sure you're following all of Kendall's work. Dwayne McFarland. Dwayne gets enough pub. We don't need
I know. He knows it.
We don't need to come on here and
it.
Say good things about Dwayne McFarland.
I know. Okay. He knows it. Ian, Dwayne, everyone, Pete. It just doesn't matter.
Well, again, shout out to you. Appreciate you coming on. Reminder to you people out there. We just talked about Bijan Robinson and Arthur Smith potentially crushing your heart in week 15. If something like that, doesn't have to be that, something like that happens, we have a new segment for our Panic Meter show, the Fantasy Forensic Files. Did one guy blow your season? Did one guy on your opponent's team, crush your soul and end your season? Did you get eliminated based on a bad beat? Did you bet the Jets because my dumbass told you to do it? You want to rip me apart? Go for it. Send in your screen grabs, send in videos, voice memos, whatever, to the Yahoo Fantasy Mailbag, fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. Or you can tweet them at me or Andy Behrens. We're going to feature them on the pod on Tuesday and break down how it happened and why it went wrong for you, and maybe how you can cope with that yourself. And of course, be sure to tune in first thing Monday morning to hear Scott Pienowski and I break down all the action from week 15. Until then, we're out and good luck in your fantasy playoffs.